Hello there, blogging heads. My name is William Butler, and I'm back to talk with you once again about tech topics. We usually talk about something involving tech policy or tech business, and this one's going to lean a little bit more toward tech business today. So not a lot of regulatory talk ahead, unless I'm to be surprised. We'll find out. But I think it's a really interesting topic. We're talking about virtual reality and its potential applications, especially in marketing. So to do that, I'm joined today by Cotandello, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Please correct me if I'm not, who wrote this really interesting piece for Advertising Age recently about it. So Cotton, thanks for joining. And would you like to tell us something about yourself and about this piece, please?
Sure. Until about a month ago, I was a reporter at Ad Age covering mostly social media and based in San Francisco. I've actually recently gone over to the other side, and I'm working at a PR firm called DKC, working mainly with tech clients. And so the piece is about virtual reality and its implications for marketing, which as of now are still quite speculative because this technology is currently not really in many people's hands. So it's sort of looking towards a future where brands can kind of envision people actually having a VR headset in their homes.
I mean, is it really going to be people's homes, I think, is one of those questions that, you know, that you address at the top of the article. Like, right now, this is, you know, limited to concerts and events like this. So one of the questions in there is what is the near-term likelihood for these headsets being more widely available?
Well, a lot of the people that I talk to, you know, feel pretty confident that... The big players, the Oculuses, now owned by Facebook, the Samsungs, yes, and the Sonys will have products in market at an accessible price point next year. So you can imagine that if you know, a really good device was available for $300, it might be in the hands of many people come holiday season of next year.
Mm-hmm. And so the hope of these, so are we talking about brands or agencies? Who's driving this more at the moment?
Driving the innovation?
Yeah, for using virtual reality for marketing purposes.
I would say there's experimentation, and it really hasn't gone beyond that phase just because of the consumer adoption. There's instances of it in both, at brands and at agencies. I wouldn't say one is conspicuously driving it more.
Okay. It was still really early days, that's fair to say, right?
Really early days. Yeah, what you're finding mainly is, well, especially within agencies, in my reporting, I kind of found that, you know, you have these guys in agencies who lead an emerging media or tech practice, and they have tried, say, Oculus Rift, and think it's amazing, and, you know, after trying it, are kind of convinced that, you know, once people try this thing, they're bound to want one, and so marketers have to be prepared for that. So it's kind of like a vision that starts with, you know, people in those departments who've actually played with the things.
Speaking of trying it, have you yourself tried one of these headsets?
I have. I've tried an Oculus headset a couple of times. Once it was at a startup called Jaunt, which is based here in the Bay Area in Palo Alto. And they actually are creating a 360-degree camera. But they have an Oculus Rift at their office, and they let me use it to try out some of their products. But it was amazingly cool. Like I put it on, and I got to be transported into the backyard of a Megadeth guitarist who was just playing guitar.
Dave Mustaine, right?
Exactly.
Yes. And readers or viewers should know that they will include, of course, we'll include a link to your piece. There is a photograph of the Jaunt camera, which is in the article. And it looks like, I don't know, it looks like a bathysphere mixed with Pinhead from Hellraiser. Because it's got cameras pointing off in all directions. How big is that thing, by the way?
It's not too big. It's, I don't know, like, maybe like the circumference of a globe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very big.
A little bit bigger than a basketball?
Much bigger than a basketball, right?
Okay, you know, I've also had an opportunity to use the Oculus Rift, although it sounds like less than you. I was at South by Southwest earlier this year, and myself and a colleague decided it was worth our time to spend about an hour in line to get into this showroom where they had a couple of Oculus Rifts available. And there were, the longer line was to actually sit there and play a game, and the shorter line was just to go in there and strap the headset on and, you know, look around. And so I have to say, I'm somebody who, like, I cannot do a magic eye to save my life. Like, I wear glasses, my eyes don't work together properly. I went in there being skeptical that this was going to work. And not only did this work, that kind of made me sick to my stomach. It was pretty impressive.
So, yeah, and that apparently is a big, has been and continues to be a big hurdle for VR that it makes people nauseous. But mm-hmm. some of the newer technologies are kind of solving for that.
It wasn't even necessarily nauseous in a bad way, because sure, no one wants to be nauseous exactly, but I was willing to trade that for a moment, because it was pretty dang cool.
And one of the things I tried, I got mm-hmm. nauseous in a bad way.
You did, actually.
I did like a roller coaster experience, and it was like, this is real, but it's pretty unpleasant, actually.
It's funny. So did you actually not like it, would you say?
Well, the experience that I tried at Jaunt, where it kind of solved for that, and it created an amazing experience. I loved that. It was
okay.
You know, there was another thing where I was put in the middle of a horror film. You know, I was below decks on a ship, and there was a squid-like creature slithering around, and people screaming, and it was just so cool. I mean, once you yeah. try it, you really can understand how, you know, when you hear people talking really ambitiously about, you know, about this is the future of movies, you kind of get it.
Yeah, maybe. I do think I would like to get entertainment for a moment, or we'll get there eventually. In the short term, though, so we've established we both have tried this thing, and we both think that it's cool. Here's the your article is specifically about how advertisers, marketers are exploring it. And as you said, this is early days. They're just kind of experimenting. Have they figured out what the use case for this is? Like, if I'm a brand, why would I consider using this other than for the novelty?
Well, they really haven't figured it out. I mean, okay. I think for the present, for the present moment, the value mm-hmm. of it absolutely is for PR. That's the only value mm-hmm. of it. Since nobody has these things in their homes. So if you're HBO and you do what they did, creating a VR experience around Game of Thrones, where people at South by Southwest and people around the world, because it's a moving exhibition, have been able to feel like they're scaling to the top of the wall.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the lines are huge wherever they go. Like, people, apparently it's in Europe. It's been in Europe, and people are coming from, like, Norway to, like, the far reaches of Norway down to Oslo to be able to try
scale
this thing
wall.
Out. So, you know, and it's all the write-up about it, and this is sort of where mm-hmm. the value is derived at the moment. But I think, like, part of the reason that brands are putting resources into this is they are kind of thinking about the need to stay ahead of the curve and the moment, perhaps in the not-too-distant future, when this is consumer tech that everybody has. Or a lot of people have.
Yeah, I come from a social media marketing background. The company that I have today is a social content agency, and so we're still in the social space. Frankly, almost everybody I know, their job in some way revolves around social media. So, like, I've been following the field for a long time, and I'll tell you, there was definitely this point in time in the, say, mid-2000s, maybe late-2000s, when I was younger, and I didn't really have, like, a niche carved out yet. And oftentimes, I really felt that we were just kind of ping-ponging from one novelty to the next. And looking back over the course of, you know, various things that have been tried over the years, I sent you a short list of examples, and some of these you were familiar with, some of these you weren't. So, Second Life, you'll definitely remember Second Life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it's still technically around, but, you know, the application of what that kind of thing was good for was realized infinitely more successfully as a game with Minecraft in terms of world building, also better tools. There was this thing back in the late 90s called a QCAT. The idea was it was just a USB, like, barcode reader. Consider it the progenitor of the QR code, another thing that marketers have tried to, you know, make use of, but just nobody uses it. And so, thinking about this, having read your piece, I don't think this is going to go the way of the QR code, where it doesn't have any utility, so nobody uses it. But I'm very skeptical that this really has any serious marketing usage, unless
you're not
it's
the only one.
Say again. Go for
it. I said you're not the only one who's skeptical.
Okay, yeah. I noticed, by the way, that your article, which when I read the title, I left out a crucial component. The title of the article is "Virtual Reality: Advertising's Next Big Thing?" And there's a saying called, or there's Betteridge's Law of Headlines, which says if you add a quotation mark to the end of a headline, then the answer is no. So would you go so far as to say the answer is no? Have you made
no,
it
I wouldn't.
That far?
I wouldn't go that far. And okay. I think that a lot of people who I talked to for this story, mm-hmm. Definitely were cognizant of the fact that it could be a novelty, but also were thinking that, this could be the next mobile, mm-hmm. which was so transformative for everything, really.
Yes.
And we have a lot of evidence to suggest that Mark Zuckerberg thinks that could be the case. He's put down a lot of money on that.
$2 billion intention. Worth of reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's, essentially the stated reason that they purchased Oculus, that Facebook purchased mm-hmm. Oculus.
Well, so the reason was he was saying, Zuckerberg was saying that they wanted to keep it focused on well, what is it? They don't want to get into gaming, do they? They want to make the social network actually, immersive.
Yeah, that was what he. That's what he alluded to. They didn't mm-hmm. get into many specifics, of course, but mm-hmm. but yeah, he kind of invoked a future. I think actually when they announced the acquisition on a call, I think. He mm-hmm. mentioned something about, imagine being able to go to a basketball game and be courtside, mm-hmm. Not just watch it on a screen. And he did make some allusions to how social networking itself could become more immersive.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the social ads which accompany. I could see where Facebook is maybe one platform I could see. You could possibly do that. I don't know that I necessarily want to strap on some goggles and read my news feed that way. But at least I can start to see what they would do with it. They do have these assets in place. They have content. They have ads. I can see where they're going with it. Maybe.
Yeah. I think if you're Facebook, you're just kind of... I think Facebook itself is sort of looking to become a holding company for social brands. They're essentially looking to become the P&G of social. So...
Yeah.
I truly don't think they have even a great notion of what they would do with Oculus just yet. I mean, I'm sure they have some ideas, but I think for them, it's just the potential of it, the potential mass appeal of it is just something they want to have an early seat at the table for.
Right. And it seems like Facebook has some time to figure that out. They're flush with cash from the IPO. They don't yet need to focus in. They're kind of maybe in the place that Google was 10 years ago when they were, let's give Maps a try. Let's give email a try. And for Zuckerberg, it's going to be on the web, and it is it's acquiring these apps like WhatsApp and Instagram.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
I was going to say just the grave risk to Facebook as a company is that it mm-hmm. becomes irrelevant. So which people are constantly pointing to, we don't like Facebook anymore. I don't go on Facebook as much as I used to. So mm-hmm. in order to guard against that, Facebook has to be looking for the next big thing or the next big things.
I certainly remember there being a lot of consternation around the acquisition because, well, first of all, Oculus began as a Kickstarter project. So there were certainly some people who were a little bit disappointed to see a labor of love turned into Mark Zuckerberg's next acquisition. But then more specifically, there are people that wanted the Oculus Rift and when I stood in line at South by Southwest, everybody was there for its video game, purposes. Do you think that, is Facebook now getting into video games? Do you think that's likely?
No, I don't think that's likely.
So the Oculus Rift is no longer a video game platform anymore?
No. Yeah, no, I misspoke. No. I'm not trying to make waves with that kind of contention. I feel like Oculus will be allowed to continue to function as its own business. Much like Instagram has, Facebook says WhatsApp will, but I think in terms of how it might look to integrate Oculus into its own platform, it wouldn't be to have host video games on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It would be more to create immersive experiences aside from video games on Facebook.
That makes sense. Oculus is what? Are they about a year away from a commercial release?
I think that's what people think.
Okay. And the price range is what?
The price for the developer kit was $350, and they haven't gone on record saying what the consumer product will cost.
Have you heard any predictions that you take seriously?
No.
What would be a so there's no range you... Because, I mean, I'm trying to weigh whether or not I would actually purchase this thing. Like, I play video games occasionally. Would I pay for it? Would I get it at $350?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I'm not, like, that serious of a gamer. Like, I have an Xbox 360, which I assume that I'll keep playing once a week for some time into the future. Like, I'm not rushing to get the new... I like to play a little bit. This is a different enough thing that I this might be worthwhile. I guess it always is the case that you need to have the killer apps. You have to have good games or you don't have a platform. So Oculus certainly has to show that it has that. But like, I think the technology just by itself, leaving aside any marketing implications, I think it's a real deal. Like, I don't think 3D is a real deal. I just got myself a 3D smart TV and I turned that thing on for about 15 seconds and I turned it right off. Like, I don't want that. I really do want the 3D. I really do want the actual virtual reality experience. That is interesting. And so, if we're going to talk about how, I think there's a chance for it. If there's a chance for this to work in marketing, like the way that I see this being most likely, and I'm curious to hear if you think this is the best path forward, is to do it in sort of a content marketing way, where, you know, I realize that HBO creating a part of the wall for people to go experience being in the north of Westeros is a limited application of it. But is it the case? Think about how Red Bull flew Felix Baumgartner up to the stratosphere, had him jump out of the balloon, and they sponsored the whole thing. If there's like a larger experience to be had, maybe even a full, I don't know, maybe even a movie. Like, is there a content marketing at angle here where they just sponsor it and their ads are unobtrusively included? Is that where this should go?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. So the notion would be, you know, a Red Bull would be one that would seem very likely, or a Coca-Cola or Pepsi, kind of brands that have linked themselves to entertainment, would seek to create really cool experiences and basically sponsor those experiences. So giving people access to, you know, being pitch side at a World Cup game or something like that, or, you know, being in the front row at a Beyonce concert, you know, might make sense for Pepsi, who, you know, Beyonce is their brand ambassador.
So is that you sitting in your home being transported to a Beyonce concert? Is that the future application?
Yeah, that would be kind of the dream.
Okay.
Of how it could work.
Because right now, as we established earlier, you've got to go to an event. You've got to go to a Lollapalooza or something in order to try one of these on. Is there a difference between the kind of marketing experience that they could do at an event like that versus what they could do if there were a lot of people with them in their homes? Is there a network effect?
I haven't heard that idea specifically. I think, you know, just the fact that more people will have these things in their home, it just creates obviously more of an incentive for marketers to start taking it seriously.
And create content for it. Yeah.
And the interesting thing also is like nobody that I talked to really found it all that compelling. The idea of creating like traditional ads for VR, interruptions in an experience. The idea went far more along the lines of, you know, creating content that adds value and kind of, you know, bringing it to someone from Coca-Cola. Just basically, you know, adding delight to people's lives. Which is sort of like always the promise of advertising, but very rarely the
difficult to do.
Yeah.
I mean, some brands have an easier time of it, right? You know, Red Bull, they have this kind of exciting brand, so they can fly Felix Baumgartner up and have him jump out of a hot air balloon, but I can't really see, you know, Elmer's glue doing the same thing. It just doesn't speak to them that way.
No, certainly you wouldn't think Elmer's glue necessarily has the same budget as Pepsi either.
No, that's
so
true.
Maybe
as
they
well.
Do. Glue is a useful product, so maybe they do.
And sugar water is, you know, the sort of thing where you just have to advertise it purely on brand. You know, there's tastes are one thing, but, you know, really, you're just selling sugar water. There's no, as Steve Jobs famously said. Anyway, that's not where I wanted to go with that. Where I wanted to take this was, you actually said something a moment ago that I wanted to explore a little bit there. And that's about you know, the fact that ads up to now are kind of like, had they been distractive. And so pre-roll is an example of where, you know, pre-rolling videos is something I really will like not watch videos without. Mm-hmm. If there's pre-roll, I will usually skip away unless I can click one of those 4 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes for print advertising, where these roadblock ads are very much disliked. You and I were talking a little bit earlier today about the last night when from this recording, we're recording on a Monday. Last night on John Oliver, they did a segment about and sorry about the siren. I live along a busy street, as viewers may remember. So they did a segment on what's the term I'm looking for here? Native advertising, sponsored content. And so this is a way that, this is a thing that, look, I could see this virtual reality being that sort of in a way. Like, how do you see content marketing and so how do you see content marketing and native advertising fit together? And maybe, could you actually explain those terms for viewers who don't work in marketing like we do?
Okay, so native ads refers to ad units that kind of fit into the flow of the content that they're in. So effectively, ads that look like content. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one very basic example would be the Facebook news feed. That's the ultimate native ad. Facebook ads that go in your news feed are meant to resemble anything else you would see in your news feed.
Right.
But now you see kind of time-honored publications like the New York Times also dabbling with native-style units. So, mm-hmm. you know, instead of, you know, a display ad on the right side of your screen that very obviously looks like an ad or a banner ad that nobody ever clicks on,
right.
you know, a native ad would kind of look like a story. And it would say somewhere sponsored by, but mm-hmm. that might be kind of hard to see. So that's kind of the biggest complaint about it.
Yeah, and then content marketing is fairly similar, but it's not, I guess, not geared toward news. You know, content marketing may be like producing a book. A brand produces a book that educates people and, you know, also conveys certain values that the brand wants to get across.
Yeah.
Brand journalism is another phrase that gets used, a specific type of content marketing. And is that sort of where the virtual reality may have its own, say, genre within?
As a form of content marketing? Yeah, I think that seems fair.
See, if we discuss it that way, I could see this. I am skeptical, as we have, you know, established early on. But as somebody who does work in content marketing and who, you know, works a little bit with video, mostly with mostly static and mostly editorial, you better believe I'd be interested in doing this. You know, it seems like the iOS development, like App Store development, has become, you know, a bit of a, it's there's a glut there right now. So there's a certain novelty. I certainly don't have the capabilities to actually do this, but like I can see why this is an interesting topic, just because it is interesting by itself. And this gets me back to where I said that I felt in the past that I've been ping-ponging between these different ideas, none of which ever really quite caught on. Like, as marketers or as advertisers, are we just addicted to novelty?
Yes. I think marketers are addicted to novelty. And, you know, a marketer, I think, kind of feels pains to try to predict the next wave of consumer behavior. And, you know, sometimes things are just fads.
Things don't work. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think by nature of being a marketer, you kind of have to, that's what you have to do. And sometimes these fads pan out into something really, really powerful, like mobile technology.
Right.
Really transformative.
I'll agree. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, 5 years ago, I remember hearing the word mobile, thinking, at the time, what, I was on a flip phone that barely had an internet connection. So I totally didn't get mobile. Well, no one has to explain that now.
Yeah.
You're right, it does work sometimes. Do you think, I don't know, what do you think of the criteria we should judge? Look, not just virtual reality as far as advertising goes. That's just one angle of it, although an interesting one. By what criteria do you think we should judge whether virtual reality is worth paying attention to?
I think we're not really going to know until these headsets are available at a at a consumer price point. And then I think there's going to be a flurry of development. There are already so many developers who are playing around with Oculus, and I think, you know, we might see some amazing creativity of experiences that are suddenly available for consumers. And, you know, maybe people are going to fall in love with these things. Maybe it's people who aren't gamers. Maybe it's people who would have never, who thought this was for nerds, that this is something that would never apply to them. So I guess that's how we can judge it by, if in 2 years, like somebody like me, for instance, had one of these things in my house.
Not a gamer, right?
No, not a gamer. I played original Nintendo.
Love me some NES action. Would you consider buying this?
I don't think like right out of the gate I would. Mm-hmm. But I guess if I heard about some cool experiences that were available, that, you know, if I heard about something I could buy where I got to, you know, go to a concert of some artist that I really, really loved. Or, you know, do a tour of you know, the most beautiful houses in San Francisco that ordinarily I would never get to go into. Like, that sort of thing would really appeal to me.
Travel, I could see that, yeah. A virtual, like, I don't get to travel as much as I'd like to, but if I'd like to, you know, see what it's like to walk around the, you know, Mediterranean Sea, I don't know, yeah, I think any place that I've been to, that could be really interesting. And what you need is content, right? Like, again, it's sort of like, it faces the same problem that any video game console does, even if it's not being used as a game console, although it certainly will be. Because you gotta have developers for it. And right. I would venture that potentially as being a good measure of its, you know, future prospects as if people are developing. And I guess Oculus has done a good job of cultivating people to develop, although we'll see if they stick with it. Thanks to the acquisition.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so your article, you talk, Jaunt is one company you mentioned. They make that crazy multi-sided or spherical camera. What are some of the other, you know, companies that are doing interesting things in this space?
I talked to a company called Servios that's based in L.A., and they're kind of cool. I hope I'm not mischaracterizing what they do, because I actually wrote this story like 2 months ago, so it's not as fresh as it was. But they basically, they're kind of experimenting with gameplay mechanics. So, and their founder is this young dynamic guy, and he kind of explained that, you know, what they're doing, it's sort of directly applicable to video games and, you know, how you would play a game with a VR interface. But that it's sort of indirectly relatable to marketing, because if you're figuring out how to, you know, render someone's hand moving around a sword or something like that, you could also imagine, you know, rendering someone's hand to touch a seashell or something like that, if it was a travel game app.
They're working on the touch sensation, right? This is what they are. And what are they... How much touch sensation do they put into it? Is it just gloves, or is there more to it than gloves?
Sorry, not sure about that.
Okay, fair enough. Cool. And so they are ways from the market, right? Are they still in R&D at this point?
They're still in R&D, but I think they're pushing something out in the midterm future.
Okay. And when, are they their own headset, or are they an augment to Oculus?
They are not a headset. I forget exactly what kind of product they are pushing out. But that's the other interesting part of VR. There's so many pieces of it, creators of this technology are getting funding from VC firms doing all sorts of different things. So you have the software side, you have the headset side, which everybody is most familiar with via Oculus. But you also have the technology that's actually going to render your body moving around. So there's a lot of areas of it that are ripe for investment.
Have you seen this Oculus Rift machine that turns you into a bird?
No, it sounds cool.
It is amazing. It may be called Birdly, possibly. I just ran a Google search on it. I think it's actually created by... an art department in Zurich, Okay, so I did find a story here. We'll include a link to it. Yeah, so basically you strap on the Oculus headset, you lay down on this platform, you stick your hands into this contraption, which these are your wings, and so you can flap your wings, and then absurdly, but maybe correctly, there is a fan up above your head that is, you know, blowing air at you. And then, of course, looking through the Oculus, you are looking down on the landscape as you fly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so this is where I don't think that art necessarily is going to be a big market for these, but it'd be interesting if that kind of experience, maybe that creates a new genre that could actually exist. This is the sort of thing where we're just sort of speculating. I mean, like virtual reality is not a new concept, right? We certainly, movies have explored this for a long time, but just now we're actually getting to a place where you can do some of these things, it seems like.
Yeah, there's just so many potential use cases for it. I talked to another guy for this story who, he's the CEO of a marketing and research firm, and they're creating an applied VR division. And, you know, he says they're talking to, like, 10 to 12 big brands, executives at the C-suite level. One of them is a credit card company that is thinking about creating a VR experience that would teach people how to be more responsible with credit. So that kind of sounds pretty boring, but you could imagine maybe there would be like some kind of creative ways to do that.
It could make it less boring, I suppose.
Well, so one project that they did that he could tell me about, they worked with Travelers Insurance to create a workplace safety experience. So basically, and this was an effort to kind of train employees, and the notion was perhaps it could be licensed out to other companies. But the notion is to train employees to be more safe by having them play in a simulation where they're flying around a warehouse and they have to save their colleagues from like being hit by a piece of machinery. So, you know, that was sort of a more fun spin to workplace safety than perhaps the normal lecture. So yeah, they're, you know, Lily, this is an example of brands kind of thinking about more creative, different applications of VR, to kind of enhance their current activities.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that I really do buy. You know, I get the notion that, you know, an enterprise sized organization could afford to buy a set of these that they would then, you know, rotate through their, through their employees, use them when they need to. Kind of reminds me a little bit of discussion around Google Glass, which is totally not proven, and the Segway, which has proven itself to have revolutionized the, you know, tourism market. And not even revolutionized, but it's got some usage there. I always thought the Google Glass might have some application in, you know, narrow industries where you need to get information while your hands are occupied. So while being an electrician or plumber, a thing like that, I could see the virtual reality having a huge, you know, massive application in terms of training people to do activities that it might be too expensive to put them into or too difficult to put them into. You know, boy, you go back to, you know, military flight simulators. This could be like that for the manufacturing world.
Yeah. And then on top of that, if they were to do that sort of thing, they would get good PR. So.
And they would too. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. What do you think that let's say we're 5 years in the future and, you know, there are virtual reality headsets that are, you know, say the adoption is maybe like the PC in the, you know, mid 80s. So it's getting out there. It's gaining some traction, but it's not quite smartphone in 2014 levels. What do you see the actual application? I this is a big question, so feel free to say, I just don't know. But do you have a guess as to what the breakdown of actual usage would be?
Sorry, what do you mean? Breakdown of usage between?
How much do you think people would be using them for entertainment versus being used for like actual educational purposes, whether that's corporate or schools? And how much of it do you think would be, marketing would be how much of that part?
I think a very small part at market. I think marketers are probably by and large going to be pretty conservative with it until it's really proven to be, you know, really on a trajectory to be the next the next platform after mobile.
Sure.
You know, I think it's really going to take like a huge flowering of content, entertainment related content, and kind of proven enthusiasm from consumers before most marketers start to take it seriously. Like, I'm sure in the meantime, like, marketers will try to do what they do in video games, right? Like, put in Coca-Cola's branding inside of a basketball court. So just like, placement inside of experiences. I'm sure they'll try to do that because that's, like, low-hanging fruit. But in terms of meaningful development that they invest a lot of resources in, I think in 5 years I wouldn't expect to see a lot of that.
Makes sense. I could see where it's could be the next pre-roll, or just if it becomes a place where people spend a good amount of time and it costs some money to put it together, then advertisers are going to be following. They're going to be necessary. They'll just become part of the fabric.
Yeah,
that makes sense. You know what? I think we've gone through the questions that I have. Is there any aspect of virtual reality that you think is especially interesting that maybe I didn't ask you about?
Let's see. No, I think we've talked about a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Then this has been a really interesting conversation. I feel like we, it's almost a cliche to say we've only scratched the surface because I don't think we even know what's below the, upper layer yet.
Yeah.
But it's fun to talk about.
It sure is.
All right. Cotton, thanks very much for joining me. This was great.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
Bye.